Welcome to Boutique Builders. I'm Chris Lowley, editor of Citywire Selector, and together with Crystal Higgins, I've spoken to a number of independent operators in asset management to understand the current opportunity set for boutique firms. From the pains of people management to finding the right mix of funds, this series delves into what drives smaller independent players to put themselves out there and compete with the larger asset managers already operating today. In this second episode, Crystal spoke with Cesar Fernandez, a formerly Citywire AAA rated manager at Julius Baer. Cesar opted to leave the confines and comforts of this role within the Swiss group to develop something he felt was truly unique. In this discussion, Cesar touches on what motivated him to change, the early headaches he faced in establishing Alpha Advisors, and how the pandemic both shaped and then reshaped what he was trying to do. Enjoy.
What is the experience like of going from being in that world to setting up your own boutique? Do you want to start off by when you came up with the idea to do this and when you realized this is the time to make this leap now?
Yeah. It was a great journey, to be honest. But, you know, interestingly enough, the most difficult part of the journey is the mental leap, right? The idea came in the beginning of the pandemic, actually, when I was managing one of the what became the biggest fan of the bank at the time, with relatively good performance, good success there, and realized that we can actually do better for clients by helping them directly. So essentially, I saw that there were quite a few layers of interest between myself, the decision maker on the assets and on the investments, and the final client, and realized that that client many times didn't get the appropriate level of institutional service.
They were neglected a bit.
That's right.
Treated poorly?
So. That too. Certain clients very poorly, you know, which is very surprising because they do have more muscle than they believe they have.
Okay. Yeah. So the idea felt clear, it seems to me. Did the gap in the market felt obvious to you in a sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've always been very entrepreneurial, right? Mm-hmm. So I started a company after I left the US many years ago, and it failed, but it was actually a great experience. Mm-hmm. It was probably the most stressful experience of my life.
The most,
yes.
What was the company and why did it fail?
It was I work at Standard & Poor's Structured Finance Emerging Markets for more than 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then I had to decide whether to, you know, stay in the US. I had been there for over 13 years. So stay there for another 4 or 5 years while I was being a sponsor with my green card, or leave. I had run out of visas at the time. I decided to leave, actually. Mm-hmm. And so I took a year off, travel around the world, looking for ideas to develop, right? Mm-hmm. I thought I could always go back to the corporate world if I needed to. And in Australia, New Zealand, I discovered that the health market, the health ambience, the beverage business was pretty big, right? So I started, I took that idea and I planted it in Spain. I opened a juice bar in Madrid with the intention of essentially experimenting on that and then just growing from there to the coast to other regions. Spain drinks a lot of juice, but it's mostly orange juice, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring that. Now, that was the wrong time. So timing is very important in investments as well as in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. That was at 2008, right before the crisis, and just everything fell, you know. So yes. that was my previous experience with entrepreneurship.
So flash forward to it's COVID, it's 2020. You've got this idea. the mental leap that you had to take, you know, bearing in mind your experiences before. Actually, how do you think that impacted your decision making? And can you talk me through how you made the mental leap? You know, how do you go from, you know, what it must be, I'm not saying easy, you know, being, you know, a performing manager at Julius Baer, but there's a security there.
Absolutely. It's a golden cage.
A golden cage.
Yeah.
I can understand that. So actually, talk to me a little bit more. So how did you break out of the golden cage and make the leap to set up on your own? What is that process like? What kind of conversations are you having with yourself?
Yeah, that was super difficult. That was the most difficult part, I have to say. And that's what most people struggle with when they do this this leap, right? Mm. this change of life. So essentially, I had to come to terms to the fact that I have no safety net. You know, it's just me. I would go from a very comfortable position, making pretty good money, being very well regarded, and in the company and in the market, right? To pretty much starting from zero and using my savings to support myself, right? So, in a way, I was not only just not receiving a salary, I was actually using my savings too, right? So it's a double whammy. Okay. That's pretty difficult, because the opportunity cost of just working for somebody else, for a big corporation, as opposed to working for yourself, is pretty high, right? Mm. I figure that the years that you are away, I mean, you can, as long as you are building something for yourself on your own, that actually adds to my experience, to my career. So eventually getting a job in a corporate bank or asset manager would not be that difficult again, you know? So I have done that again. I have done that in the past, so I could probably do it again. That's not the plan. The plan is just jumping into the swimming pool and then checking if there is water in it. Mm. So there is no plan B, right? And this is what
what it feels like. There's no plan B.
And this is how you have to approach this situation. There is no plan B. You cannot think of, you know, if this doesn't work, I'll just go back to the corporate world. You cannot think like that at all. You know, my partners and myself, we never had that conversation. And we've been working intensively, talking every day, maybe 10 times a day, you know. And we have not had that conversation at all, right? Mm. Because it's not healthy. It's not going to bring absolutely anything. And not even on the bad days. I mean, we have bad days, so it's a big roller coaster having your own company.
Right? So this has been, the idea came to you early 2020, and then you set up the company officially February this year.
Yeah,
I want to go back to actually something you mentioned about being well regarded, because that as part of the mental leap, which you said is the hardest bit. You know, the fear of going from having this solidified reputation to going into something completely unknown. What kind of did you and your partners discuss that? The fear of, like, were you open about the fear of reputational loss, or did you kind of keep that to yourself?
Well, throughout my career, what I've always understood is that, that goes with my partners as well, that what we can take away from any job is our name, right? So keeping our name in good standing is of utmost importance for all of us, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the reputation, I do think that that people, market players, investors, clients, they do differentiate between the entity and the person, right? And asset management is about talent. Actually, it's about, you know, the final decision maker, who is making the decisions, who is, you know, deciding on adding here, selling there. That doesn't come with the entity itself. The entity can provide some tools, some instruments, mm-hmm. but the decision doesn't come from the entity, you know. Just yesterday, I contacted a client that I had known for quite a few years in Latin America. And he was so happy to talk to me. I hadn't talked to him for over a year. And so completely distinguishing between the entity and the person, you know. Mm. And we had a great talk, and yeah, we'll continue talking. So that situation with the reputation of being on my own didn't scare me as much as knowing that I have kept up my name pristine, you know, for as much as I've been able to for the whole of my career.
Right? Mm. And you mentioned good days and bad days.
Yeah.
So I'm interested.
Today's a good day.
Today's a good day.
Because I'm here.
Because you're here.
Oh, this is so fun.
You're in City Water.
Yes. It's a good
day. You mentioned, so the difference between good days and bad days in the early days before it's formed and good days and bad days when you're running a company must be, well, quite different. I'm interested in understanding, you know, just for anyone who's listening, who's on the fence or thinking about doing something similar. Could you give an example of, like, you know, a good day and a bad day in the, you know, the months before even founding it and then an example now? Because I'm really, because, you know, I don't know if I said this before, but it's great having you here at this stage because you only started this in February. So in a sense, you're at the foot of the mountain still, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you've done it. You know, we made the announcement that you've launched it.
Yeah.
But obviously the reality is
survivability mode.
You're still
absolutely
in the kind of the thick of it.
Yeah.
How about we start with, you know, now actually. Yeah. You know, because obviously going from, I'd love to hear as well the key differences, maybe the bits that surprised you about the differences from managing money to then not just managing money, but now you're managing people,
and money. Yes.
People and money.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the money.
Yeah.
Still managing money.
Yeah.
Give me an example of a recent good day and a recent bad day, and maybe how these are the kind of the differences between the, you know, what are the distinct differences between what you experience now on a bad day versus what you experienced on a bad day in Julius Baer, for example.
Yeah. Or Deutsche Bank.
I'm not trying to keep it too negative.
Right.
But
I
want to get into the weeds
of it. Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, bad days are quite simple. When you have contacted a potential client, right? We have to differentiate between two things here. Mm-hmm. Now, as an entrepreneur, we not only take care of money, and we already have money to manage, right? We also need to take care of client outreach, client management, right? People management. In the boutique, we are all entrepreneurs, so we don't need to. We help each other more than manage each other, right? So that's super supportive, and this is one of the lessons I learned with my previous experience with the juice bar. When I did it all by myself, and that was a mistake, you know.
Okay.
I learned never do a big project on your own, you know. Just find the best people you can find for that, and it's okay if you share the fruits of, you know, the whole process, right? Because that will be more than just a failing business, right? So, and this is what I did. I found the best people I could get in the market from my experience, right? Direct contacts to me and among themselves, and we created this, right? So we support each other. That's super important for the bad days, mostly. For the good days, it's like winning and losing, you know. I have three daughters. I try to teach them how to lose.
Okay.
Because everybody knows how to win. But what do you do when you lose? This is, you know, resiliency is so important. The continued persistence, that's extremely important.
To be able to track progress.
As
opposed to just thinking about
the objective.
You've mentioned this to me before.
Absolutely. That's so important. Mm-hmm. The progression is what I care about. Mm. So a bad day, would be as simple as we're following up on a potential client and there is no response. There's no response. You know, we want things immediate, right? Mm-hmm. We want responses immediate. We are managing 1,000 things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget how the corporate world works.
That's interesting. What do you mean by that?
With more slow decisions need to be consensuated within the political hierarchy of a bank, of an asset manager.
Are you contending with more corporate bureaucracy than you would have experienced before in your career now?
Well, the different type.
And yeah. How is it different?
Yeah, because when I was working at the big banks I was working for, the politics involved in working there were just a drain.
Was it?
Yeah, such a waste of many times. Just meetings were just set up to consensuate on decisions that could have been made in a second. You know.
What are the kind of the aspects of that world and that career that you don't miss or you kind of say to yourself?
Oh yeah, the politics.
The politics.
Oh, the politics. The meetings. The unnecessary meetings.
Oh my. How draining and how disruptive is that, do you think, for people in your position generally, actually?
Yeah. So, from right now, this is one of my partners told me a few weeks ago, how he used to be the global head of credit trading for ING, right? And so he told me, look, I had so many ideas before, and I just couldn't execute them, right? And now it feels as if I had this fog in my mind that has dissipated, that has gone away. Now I can see so much clearer and how we can actually help so many more people to a certain degree. I mean, we're not going to compete with the big guys, with our previous employers. We don't have the ability to do that, mm-hmm. right? At least now, but or ever, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that those that we are working with are really touched. So they really find value-added contribution to our work. And we use our experience, our direct experience, over 20 years of experience in different parts of finance, right? To come up with solutions and with specific portfolios for our clients, and that's something that so far we have not seen anyone doing to this mm-hmm. extent. You know, at least to mm-hmm. our level of experience. And this is what is different with us, right? That mm-hmm. we're willing to give away our name to our clients for their own benefit, mm-hmm. right? And for example, what you mentioned before, right? The top manager ranking of last year. It was amazing for me. It was a culmination of a lot of work and
your Eurostar mention.
And I loved it, right? But for clients to be able to really benefit from that type of skill, it's very difficult under the current framework of private banking, of finance, of asset management.
It's funny because going back to what you're saying about having kind of a bit of a fog lifted, what do you wish you had known? What do you wish you had known going into this that you know now? From the experience, are there any key parts that you would say to people? These are just things.
Mm-hmm. One.
Okay.
Yeah, there is one that is super clear. So, so there are different ways to structure a boutique, right? A financial boutique. Mm-hmm. You can go on your own. You can go alone, or you can try to contact a financial a multi boutique. To host you, pay you working capital, provide cash, pay some salaries, essentially provide the framework, provide the infrastructure. For that, you pay with your capital, right? So I went into my first meeting with one of these multi-boutiques, and it was an amazing meeting, right? Amazing. Connection was great. And few months after that, I found myself in a position of complacency, right? As if I had stopped looking for...
When was this? What kind of year was it? What time frame?
So this was end of last year.
End of last year. And when you say complacency, talk me through that. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that on a situation like this, what you need to do is to keep trying. You need to have, just like when you trade a bond.
So had you closed a deal with this person? Or you
no.
had you hadn't?
Exactly.
And a few months had passed?
Right. So okay. So what I mean with complacency is the fact that you need to have different entities just show you their interest for you, so that you can actually you will be in a better position to negotiate, to pick and choose, right? And if you are too complacent, just you think, okay, it's going to work with these guys. I don't need to look anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It's just going to work. Mm-hmm. That's a problem, because then you are just selling yourself short, you know. Okay. It's like, yeah, as I said, you know, trading a bond. When you trade a bond, you don't go for the only, you don't go for the first counterparty that is giving you a price on that bond. You need to check on several counterparties so that there is some competition and there is an improvement on the price and you can sell higher, right? Same here, essentially. You need to find several suitors, right, that will provide better, well, at least they will put value on you as they show their interest against the others, right? Mm-hmm. So,
okay. So, sort of, did you, because you are, you know, entrepreneurial by nature, but did you feel that there is a kind of an extra sort of savvy edge required that you found surprising? I mean, what aspect of that sort of jolted you? Was it, because if I was in your position, I would think, well, I know this industry inside and out. I know these people. I know what they want. I've done this for so long. Why did it's interesting to feel how it would feel different. And maybe it's the business aspect, I suppose. You are now.
Is the personally. Freedom? Is the freedom?
Okay.
Is that it's that we can do what we were doing before, mm-hmm. With more freedom. So essentially, making decisions on the spot. You know, just deciding on. So right now we are involved, and the.
How do you how many? You know, partners do you have? And is there a hierarchy? Like, who's the...
No.
Is there a boss?
No.
Even secretly, is there a boss?
No, there is no boss. I mean, there is no
and
boss.
And how do you make decisions? Who gives the final say?
Yeah.
Is it like the UN? You all have to equally vote? Give me some examples of a recent disagreement you've had and how you overcame that.
Excellent.
Then I'll find out who the boss is.
Exactly. Okay, perfect. So... So we are four partners, right? Two of them are still in their corporate jobs, right? So two of us are working already full time on developing the project. We are all share owners. So there is no boss from a share perspective, right? And we wanted it that way.
Even though the idea was originally yours.
Yeah. And I brought them.
So was it important for you? Is this actually a key kind of
piece?
Exactly. This is the key part of the DNA of the...
Exactly. Entrepreneurship.
That you want it to be level. You don't want to be...
That's right. Yes.